And good evening, everybody. And thank you for inviting me to join this fascinating panel discussion. I'm going to spend the next 10 minutes talking about some of the questions that were posed to the panel from a publisher's perspective. And when I started to think about these questions, I realized very quickly that I didn't have any definitive answers to offer you. But instead, what I would like to do is to share some observations, particularly from my role as a publisher over the last 20 years and from my more recent role as Director for Research Integrity and Publishing Ethics. And I do hope that some of those observations will indeed inform the discussion that will go on after this. So the first observation I'd like to make is that publishing ethics in particular has undergone a revolution in the last 5 to 10 years. And what I mean by that is that article retractions are increasing sharply. So in 2023, for example, Elsevier, my publishing house, retracted over 850 articles. That's more than double the number of articles than we had ever retracted in a single year up until that point. And this year, 2024, that number is going to increase further. Article retractions are increasing due to systematic manipulation of the scholarly publishing process, both by individuals and organizations for gain. So sometimes that gain is financial. For example, when we see authorship positions being sold on papers, sometimes that gain is around increasing impact and output metrics. That leads to professional promotions, invitations to speak at scientific conferences and events, and indeed invitations from people like myself to sit on the editorial boards of scholarly publishing journals. And in turn, what that means is that the publishing ethics cases that come to my door and to those of my counterparts in other publishing houses are far more complex than they have ever been before. And what I mean by that is that they often encompass multiple papers published in multiple journals across multiple disciplines. And indeed, they take a lot of investigative skill, tooling, and time, most importantly, to fully resolve. But if we think about the UK, is it true to say that there is a revolution here on our shores? So this particular graph shows data taken from the Retraction Watch database, which tracks article retractions across all publishing journals. And what I've done is to map for you the total number of article retractions between 2014 and 2023. And I have then broken that down by country. The UK is represented here by the red line. And if anybody's kind of like at the back of the room and looking at this graph and thinking, where is the red line? Then actually, there's kind of some good news for you out there. And that is because the number of retractions of UK authored papers has first of all remained pretty steady throughout this particular period. And the absolute numbers are also pretty low. So in 2021, Retraction Watch database recorded 99 article retractions of articles by UK authors. In 2022, it was 78 retractions. And in 2023, it was 109 retractions. So over the most recent 3 year period, 286 articles by UK authors were retracted. Now that compares with a total number of article retractions of 17,214 over the same period. So if my maths is correct, the UK contributed only 1.6% to article retractions in the most recent 3 years. But absolute numbers only tell a certain part of the story. And so what I also wanted to do was to delve a little bit deeper into the reasons that UK authored publications were retracted. So this particular graph, also with data taken from Retraction Watch database, shows you the reasons for retraction of UK authored papers between 2014 and 2023. And what you can see from this particular graph is that problems with data was the most common reason for those papers to be retracted. And that's represented in yellow on the graph, so towards the top. So problems with data, I appreciate, sounds very broad, and that's because it is. It does indeed include dishonest behaviors such as data manipulation and fabrication, but it also includes things such as serious errors, which mean that the findings of the paper no longer hold up. It also includes not being able to reproduce the data itself. And the important thing about those two categories is that it is often the authors of the work who have discovered these problems post-publication and have done the right thing by coming to the journal editor and requesting retraction so that other authors do not build on that foundation. And I think that's a really, really important point to take away from this discussion. Retractions aren't always negative. Sometimes they are a necessary correction of the scientific record. But am I being a little bit hasty in my conclusion that the UK doesn't have the same problems as some of the other countries that I showed you on the previous graph? There are two other categories that I'd like to point out to you today. So the first is process, which is represented in light pink, and the second is references, which is represented in the darker purple colour. And both of those had a fairly sharp uptick in 2022 and 2023. Now, process refers to any issues during the course of the editorial review process which have compromised the acceptance of that particular article. References refers to any form of citation manipulation, or indeed papers that cite a rather large number of other retracted articles, meaning that the editor has perhaps lost confidence in the findings. And I think maybe one of the questions that we need to ask ourselves this evening is, we have this conversation in 2, 3, or 5 years' time, are those two categories going to have grown further? Does the UK have the same kinds of problems as I've been talking about already this evening? Or alternatively, does the sharp uptick in 2022 and 2023 simply represent a cleaning up of the scientific literature by publishers such as myself, who are now more alert to some of the problems in our historic published papers and are building tools and have better techniques to identify them more easily, investigate, and then correct the record if needed? So, having spoken a little bit about article retractions and having heard the rest of my panel members speak about how they uphold research integrity, I would also like to talk very briefly about how we, as publishing houses, uphold both research integrity and publishing ethics. So, most publishing houses have specialist teams such as mine who work together with editors and with publishers to do this. And we usually have four main areas of responsibility, regardless of which publisher we're talking about. First, we need to detect potential fraud or unethical behaviors in submitted manuscripts, so prior to publication, to make sure that we protect the scientific record. Secondly, we need to make sure that we resolve concerns in published articles, both efficiently but also transparently, so that the community can understand what went wrong. We also need to ensure that our policies continue to evolve so that they reflect the realities of today and are in step with the expectations of the community. And finally, and I think this is something which is very new to all of us, we need to collaborate. We need to make sure that we share not just kind of informal data, but that we share technology and expertise across different publishing houses. So as I come to a close, one click too far. The thought that I wanted to leave you with is, I think it would have been really easy to end my talk by flashing up a slide with lurid headlines of publishing ethics breaches. There's a lot to say, whether it's about paper mills, whether it's about controversies in Alzheimer's disease research, whether it's about some of the scandals in room temperature superconductivity, for example. But I didn't want to do that because I think the central message that I think many of us on the panel have tried to impart today is that science does a huge amount of good out there. And the UK is in a rather unique position in that we have been able to keep breaches of research integrity and publishing ethics, which is what I'm primarily here to talk about, to a minimum. And so perhaps part of the discussion that we can have is what does make the UK so unique? And is there anything that we can impart to some of our colleagues in other countries? Thank you very much.